The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
I'm Andy Holding. I'm going to take a look at the Tipperary card. 8 races on the flat, beginning at 4:25 with a claimer. And we round off the night with a very competitive looking handicap. Probably the pick of the action this evening is the listed race, the Cornwall Canford Cliff Stakes, 5:55, where some decent 2-year-olds go to post. But there is plenty of competitive other races, big fields, and plenty of good betting opportunities to be had.
Race 1.
As I said, we begin with a claimer, which is the 4:25. It's over 1 mile 1, and the ground at the time of recording is yielding to soft, likely to dry out a little bit during the afternoon because we've got some good conditions over in Ireland. And the one that jumps out the page for me here, not obvious for many, is the bottom one, Emily Square. She was a bit disappointing, admittedly, last time out at Galway, but there were excuses on that occasion. She wore the visor for the first time, and she never really got the clearest of runs in a very messy race in behind the runaway winner Intrepid Prince, who of course has gone on to frank the form in a pretty impressive fashion when winning at Nice next time out. The time figure was good, so you can see she didn't really have much chance of getting in the race. She just constantly just kept going into the wrong areas in the field and kept getting shuffled back, and in the end it ended up being a bit of a disaster. But I do think if you take at face value her run previously at Killarney in a very good time figure behind Roy Shinbox, and she would certainly have a chance of at least being competitive here. She's got the visor off on this occasion, back with the old tongue tie cheek pieces routine, and in a weakish race where, okay, it's a big field but not that many coming in great form, from the inside draw I do expect Emily Square to run a good deal better than she did last time out at Galway, and around about 11-2 I think she's a fair enough each way bet.
Race 2.
The 4:55, it's a 2-year-old nursery, 7 runners go to post, and the one I quite like here is Mayleaf Shine from the Joseph Murphy stable. This horse has had 5 runs so far to date, and arguably she's getting better with every single outing, and that certainly seems to be the case with that run at Nace the other day when she was 2nd of 20 behind Mr. Scarlet. I do know that Sheila Lavery, the winning trainer on that occasion of Mr. Scarlet, thinks quite a bit of that colt. So the fact that this horse managed to finish only a length and 3/4 behind him certainly suggests that he ran up to a fair standard on that occasion. The handicapper thought so because he's put her up a couple of pounds for that performance. Behind that, she got some good solid efforts here at Tipperary as well, behind Pedestal and on soft ground as well. So she should be able to cope with the ease underfoot this evening. Yard still remains in good form, the Joseph Murphy stable. Round about 3-1 this morning. Mayleaf Shine gets the vote in race 2.
Race number 3.
It's another 5 furlong contest for more experienced and established sprinters. The old firm line-up here, or some of them, the likes of Master Speaker, Lady Mega, Split the Atom, who's been plying his trade on the all-weather to a good stand, along with Go-Kart as well, and, of course, regular Shanghai Beauty, make up a really useful team of horses here going to post. But I'm going to stay loyal with the Andrew Slattery stable. Of course, this yard had 2 winners at Galway last week, and they had 2 runners at Sligo the other night, and both of them won. So, obviously, there's a good deal of confidence attached behind this stable at the moment. And Soars comes in here in decent form himself, albeit he didn't quite run to his best the last day at the Curra, but that was over 6.5 furlongs in the Scurry Stakes, and he was drawn 1 as well, so he didn't get much chance to operate to his normal decent level. But prior to that, over 5 furlongs, he'd beaten the very, very smart Kimberella in the Rockingham Handicap. Now, that form definitely entitles him to a chance here, because there's loads of these horses that were in behind him on that occasion, the likes of Tilly We Wonder, Dicta Del Mar and Astania. So that's the kind of form line I'm looking at here to give him a little bit of a squeak. Most notably as well, he's drawn in Storm at 12. Now, I've got a bit of a theory here at Tipperary when the ground's on the soft side, that the middle to stand side is definitely the quickest part of the track on the sprint course. So, with that in mind, drawn 12 off 12, this could give Andrew Slattery's charge a decent opportunity to take advantage of that track position. Killian Leonard takes a valuable 7 off as well, so he races off a mark of 82. And all in all, around about 8-1, I do think Soars, with plenty in his favour, can go really well there in that 5:25.
Race 4.
On to the big two-year-old race of the evening then. It's the Camford Cliff Stakes. It's a listed race with seven runners going to post. All the rage is bound to be Capri here, like he was at Gawa the other day. He was backed as if defeat was out of the question. 2-7 he went off after being available around about the 4-5, 4-6 mark. So they obviously felt as though they got a good colt ready to step up to the plate. And Aidan O'Brien has wasted no time in running him in this pattern event here. Whether he quite deserves to be the short price of the years this morning, however, is having to question, because I do think he faces a decent colt in the shape of Right Honourable, who's available back at much bigger odds. Now, for me, my money anyway, Dermot Welshchild ran in a much stronger maiden, the one that he won, than the one that Capri contested. So, like I say, I think the disparity in the prices is far too great. He beat a horse called Brutal, who Joe Lyons thinks quite a bit of, and he did it from the outside post as well. It was a good effort by horse and jockey. Smullen did really well to get this colt by Famous Knave across from his draw, and in the end he stayed him very strongly in the latter stages. I'd say he looks a very, very uncomplicated type. Hopefully he shouldn't have any problems with the slightly easier ground tonight, and he is definitely the value pick in race number 4.
Race 5.
On to race 5 then, the 6:25. My nap in the night runs here in the shape of Decisive Talent. She's had the three runs, definitely getting better with each occasion. And she was a good third here behind Promise to Be True here in a very decent race back in June. She then finished second to a nice horse, Savannah O'Brien's called Butterflies, the next day. And the time figure that race was absolutely sensational. She was the one that generated that speed figure as well. She went really hard from the front and in the end just got touched off by what I consider to be a pattern race horse in the making. They were well clear of a well-fancied horse called Winter, who was backed off the board. Back in fourth is Elizabeth Browning, who runs in the previous listed race. You get the impression here, or the idea that this race is a really good one. As I said, the time figure and sectionals are fantastic. Drawn in store one tonight with loads of experience. I'd expect John Ox's charge to break cleanly from the inside post, get to the front and dominate the race from the start. And if you can get odds against this morning, I think you'll be doing yourself a favour, because I think this horse is going to go big odds on during the morning activity.
Race number 6.
On to the 7 o'clock then, a difficult looking 7.5 furlong handicap, Division 1 of course. I'll go with the lightly raised Baby Power here. I only had the three runs, but was a really good effort the last day down in Galway behind Zagandarabad when it was noted doing some very good late work in the closing stages. That was the second time that this filly by Frozen Power had won the tongue tie. And there could, like I said, there could be a decent amount of improvement and promise to come in the future. She's been given a mark of 63, which doesn't appear to be too bad in the context of this race. Obviously, she's not experienced as many in this, but ability-wise, there's no denying for me that she's gonna. She's definitely up with some of these who've been slightly disappointing. So round about 8-1 this morning, Baby Power makes quite a bit of appeal each way there in the 7 o'clock.
Race 7.
On to the 7:30, and going for a tried and trusted formula pick here in the shape of Lily's Prince, who's definitely been knocking at the door of late. She was third, and an eye-catching third as well, two starts back here at Tipperary, so we know she handles the track and a little bit of cut in the ground. Certainly, that appeared to be the case when she went to Down Royal as well last time out, when she also handled the track and the conditions that were thrown into her lap on that occasion. She finished second behind horse called Three Bells from a very, very wide post. She's been raised £4 in the handicap, but that's not too extensive because she has won off a mark of 70 in the past. I know this is not her beloved fairy house, but as I said, she's got track form. She's got a nice draw as well, and it's hard to see her not running a massive race there in the first type cheap pieces. So Lily's Prince is the each-way pick there.
And the final race.
On to the final race then. And Adrian Keithley has been doing really well of late. And Zeftan is the choice here. Helen Mooney, who teamed up with this horse last time out, did a good job as well when they won at the Curra in very, very impressive fashion. Now, not only was it visually impressive, the time figure and the sectionals were really good for this horse on that day. No doubt that this horse managed to win by 9 lengths in that ladies' derby, because if you compare her come-home times with the likes of Seventh Heaven and quite a few of the horses that raced on the round track that day, she wasn't too far behind from the 3 furlong pole from Group 1 horses, so she obviously can operate at a very, very decent standard. The second and the third, Udigo and Modeb, both went to Galway last week and ran very, very strongly. And with form in the bag as well, with sort of soft ground, this horse makes quite a bit of appeal in what looks a very, very modest looking concluding handicap. So Zeftan, if he's in anywhere near the form that he was the last day in the Curragh, then he should really be taking the final event. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Do tune in for Saturday's podcast, as I said, where we'll be covering the evening action at Kilbeggan. It's bye from me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.